Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are worthy of praise. You're worthy of worship. We've gathered here in your name to worship you, to love you, to prepare our hearts, Lord, for your coming. And we thank you, Lord, for the first coming, God with us, Emmanuel. And we're here to worship you and be thankful and grateful for all that you've done for us. Strengthen this congregation, each person, the choir, Brother Joel, Karen, Monica as they play instruments, and, Joseph, Will as they run our technical things today, that you would be honored and glorified in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faithful, come and adore him, come and behold and worship his holy name.
Oh, God. All right, so today is the first Sunday of Advent, and we light the candle that represents hope. In the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, Jesus is telling his followers that he's coming back to take us to our eternal home. And at the very end of the word of Scripture, Jesus says, "Yes, I will come again." And John says, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come." That is what this represents to us today. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. We live in a hopeless world. We live in a dark world. We live in a world, Father, if this is all there is, then we truly are helpless and hopeless. But we trust today in the Word, the truth claim of Scripture that says the first Advent, Jesus came, and we know that that promise came true, and we know that the second Advent will come and be just as true. And so, Father, that is our hope today, the hope that we have in our Savior who will come again and take us to our eternal home. Thank you, Father, for that hope that we have in Jesus today. In all things, we give you praise and honor and glory today. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're part of our time of worship. Stand up. Take a few moments and welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
may be seated. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal spirit rule. This time, what a blessing it is to begin our Advent season with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel and the Lakeside Bells from our own church. We're so blessed to have Karen Farr directing them and all of you ladies participating and doing such a beautiful job already today. So Karen, come and lead us. That prepares our hearts to sing some lyrics, beautiful lyrics, to 245, O Come, Emmanuel.
O Come, Emmanuel.
stand as we receive our offering. Oh, come desire of nations by all peoples in one heart and mind, beating peace, strength, and chorus cease. Fill the
Father, we come to you this morning asking you to be very near and very real to those that are sick, for those that are hurting. Pray, Father, that you would comfort them. Be with not only them, but with their loved ones who's taking care of them. And Father, as we approach the Christmas season, we just pray, dear Father, that you would be with each of us. Watch over us and care for us. Father, this morning, as we come to this part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that that you've so graciously and generously given to us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. Be with Joel as he brings the message this morning. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen. Thank you.
Son of God, the saving one, came down to us. Hope arrived into a world in need. Emmanuel, the perfect Lamb, poured out for us. Now in our lives, he is the Prince of Peace. From the glory of his throne to his birth in a manger, our God with us, our God with us. From the hills of Bethlehem to the whole of creation, our God with us, our God with us. Into the dark, into the night, good news of joy, angels sing and we will join. Eternal One, as one of us, a miracle. 2,000 years, and still our souls rejoice. From the glory of His throne to His birth in a manger, our God with us, our God with us. From the hills of Bethlehem to the whole of creation, God with us, Emmanuel. How can it be? This child is heaven's King. Emmanuel, oh praise His name for all eternity. Oh, Emmanuel, how can it be? Child is heaven's King. Emmanuel, oh praise His name for all eternity.
On the hill of Calvary, see His love on a rugged cross. Our God with us, our God with us. With us,
from the glory of His throne to His birth in a manger, our God with us, our God with us. From the hills of Bethlehem to the whole of creation, our God with us, our God with us. From the glory of His throne to His birth in
Thank you so much, choir. And thank you, handbell ringers. Oh, come all you faithful, our God with us. All of that today as we lead into our first Sunday of Advent, which is so exciting. I look forward to Advent every year, and here we are. John chapter 8, verse 56 is our verse for today. We're actually going to look at John chapter 8 and briefly discuss some of it, but don't have time to read the whole chapter. So our verse that we're going to really specifically focus in on is verse 56. We have finished our celebration of building by faith. Now that will last for 3 years, so we'll hear about building by faith for the next 3 years. But our initial campaign ended last Sunday, and so here we are, first Sunday of Advent, hope, candle, And John chapter 8, verse 56 is our verse for today. All right, I, as you well know, most of you, if you're not visiting with us, if you're visiting with us, you don't know that much about me. But for those of you that are a part of First Baptist Church, you all know I grew up Southern Baptist. So as a Southern Baptist, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, 60s. I was born in the 60s, but I don't remember much about it. But I grew up in the Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church, and we did not do Advent. All right? So there are some Baptist churches that did Advent, but none that I was a part of. And so I didn't really know much about Advent. I knew growing up that the word Advent had something to do with Christmas, and that's about as far as my knowledge went. But when I was in my 20s, the Lord called me to ministry. I went to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And there in seminary, I started learning about the tradition of Advent. And I learned the value of spending 4 weeks before Christmas preparing my heart, preparing my mind for the arrival of the Messiah, for the hope of the Messiah. And I learned this is a wonderful, wonderful celebration. I learned about longing. I learned about expectation. I learned about prophecy, the old covenant prophecy that prophesied that the Messiah would come. He did. The new covenant prophecy that prophesied that he's going to come again. He will. I learned about preparation. And I learned about the early church. It was so interesting for me to do a study and to be able to be in church history and study the early arrival of Advent. And so in the 4th century, it goes back to about the 4th century, and the 4th century church, 5th century, 6th century, 7th century, and then when we get to the 8th century, then it's full blown. It's full blown on hope, peace, joy, love, the Christ candle in the middle. And so, but in the 4th century, it was created. And here's what's so interesting about it. The 4th century church created Advent, not because it was biblically mandated, but they created it because they didn't want to, or all of a sudden they would arrive on Christmas Day. And they realized that they had not taken the time to properly prepare their hearts and their minds for this incredible event. What an incredible event, church. God in Christ is with us. God Himself in the form of His Son Jesus came to this earth to live the life that we live and to live it perfectly to save us from our sins. What an incredible event. And so to get to that point of we didn't properly prepare ourselves for the arrival of the Messiah, Christmas would sneak up on them. And they had not spiritually prepared themselves for the arrival of the Messiah. And so they started creating this thing called Advent. And then the early 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th century church said, we're spending way too much time in all of these other things around Christmas, and we're losing the meaning of the real spiritual meaning of God in Christ is with us. So they created Advent. So can you imagine this early 5th century church, 6th century church? Can you imagine what they would think about our modern day Americanized version of Christmas? I can't even begin to imagine what they would think about Christmas in our culture today. But I've grown to love Advent. And even though it's not a mandated observance in Scripture, I get that. There are so many profitable reasons to consider making Advent a part of our Christmas celebration. And so we do every single year. We take the time, the 4 Sundays before Christmas, to celebrate the arrival of our Messiah. So today, the sermon is real simple. It's real, very, very simple today. We're just simply going to talk about reasons why we celebrate Advent. Advent reminds us that the church has always longed for the Messiah. All right? So that started way back in the Old Covenant. Way, way, way back to the beginning. They have always, the body of Christ then, even in the first century until now, has always longed for the Messiah. So in the Old Covenant, they longed for the arrival of the Messiah. We're going to see that today with Father Abraham. And then in the New Covenant, we long for our Messiah we know arrived the first time, and we long for Him to come again and to take us to our eternal home. So the church has always had this longing for her Messiah. We don't like waiting. That's just part of our culture. We now live in this culture of having items, even Christmas, especially Christmas, having items sent, shipped to our homes. I can remember life when you had to actually go to the store, visually see it with your eyes, and purchase it there. But now we live in a culture where we just have it shipped to our homes because God forbid that we Americans do something to go to a store. And then all of a sudden, not only that, then came 7-day shipping. Oh my goodness, in 7 days we can get it? This is great. And then came 2-day shipping. Oh my, no, 7 days is not good enough. We got to have 2-day shipping. And then that's not good enough for us Americans. No. We've got to have overnight shipping. Do y'all know that there are people, not me, I wouldn't do this, but do y'all know that there are people that will pay more for the shipping than the item that they're having shipped to their house? Because they can't wait. Got to have it now. And then came overnight shipping. And now, in this day and time, we can have items shipped in just a few short hours to our homes. We have lost this sense of longing, this sense of waiting. And Advent gives us, as Americans, an opportunity to focus our hearts on something off, something not going to be there overnight. Patience, waiting on the Messiah. John chapter 8. Jesus tells His people that believe in Him. He says, "You are truly My disciples if you will remain faithful to My teaching." Did you hear that? All right, so you are My disciple, but there's a part that you have to play in this, Joel. And the part that you have to play in this, Joel, is that you have to remain faithful to My teaching. What's His teaching? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And so, if I am going to remain faithful to His teaching, then I can be His disciple. And then that famous line Jesus says, "And if you remain faithful to My teaching, you are My disciple, then you will know what? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then that comment led to a long conversation. If you have time this afternoon, go home and read John chapter 8. And in that long conversation, they talked about truth, and they talked about sin, they talked about rebellion, they talked about slavery, they talked about Abraham. And then ultimately the people asked each other, "Is Jesus some kind of demon?" And Jesus answered, "No, I'm not some kind of demon. I have no demons in me. I am only here to glorify My Father." Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Now all of a sudden, this demon is claiming to be God's only Son, the Messiah. And they said, of course he's a demon. We know that now. Even Abraham died. And then Jesus, in our verse for today, verse 56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to My arrival. He saw it and he was glad." So your father Abraham, your father, you Jews, your father Abraham put on spiritual glasses. And with those spiritual glasses, he could see with the eyes of faith what nobody else could see. And with the eyes of faith, Father Abraham looked for Me, the Messiah, the arrival of the Christ child. He longed for it And he was glad. And so he's looking at them. The very person that Abraham, your father, longed for and was excited about and realized was the salvation of the world is standing right in front of your eyes. You're looking right at that very person. And that prophecy came true. And because that prophecy came true, we know that the second prophecy, the second return of the Messiah, taking us to our eternal home, will come true as well. So we what? We wait. Advent reminds us that we are not the center of God's plan. Oh my goodness, we don't like hearing that, do we? No. We're Americans. We like thinking that we are the center of God's plans. And we love this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah where we've been told since birth that God has a plan for us, that God, those plans are for good and not for disaster, and to give you a future and a hope. And of course, that prophecy from Jeremiah is good and it is strong. But oftentimes we, as Americans, we turn that beautiful passage of Scripture into something that is me-centric. Oh, well, it's all about me, right? But Advent points our gaze to a far grander story than ours. It is good because it takes the attention away from ourselves and it puts the attention back on the Messiah. Advent connects us to the church. Now, church tradition is not the end-all be-all. It is certainly not our final authority. It has always bothered me since I've been a pastor. Not just in our church, but any church, any denomination or any church that turns their tradition to be more important to them than Scripture. One of the reasons why I am a Baptist, and one of the reasons why I love being a Southern Baptist, and I have Baptist in my heart and Baptist in my head, one of the reasons why I love that is because originally, one of the things that Baptists stood for is we were called people of the book. That meant no man in Rome is our authority. No hierarchical structure in Birmingham is our authority. No hierarchical structure in Europe is our authority. No. One of the reasons why I love being a Baptist is because I know that my authority is God's holy word, period. Advent does remind us of that final authority. Advent brings patience during a frantic season. Oh, we just had Black Friday. Oh my goodness, Black Friday. And then after Black Friday, now we have Small Business Saturday. All right, that's good. I support small business. I'm all for that. All right, and then I said to the early worship, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but do y'all know that tomorrow is then Cyber Monday. So we have Black Friday, we have Small Business Saturday, we have Cyber Monday, and I'm just as guilty as anybody in this congregation, because starting today, all throughout this entire week, our front doorstep will be packed with boxes that's coming from all over the country and all over the world. Just as guilty as everybody. But what we'll find, you'll find during this season of Christmas, and I promise you, if you watch anything on YouTube or Facebook or the news, you'll see a news story on it. I'm promising you, if you watch the news at all, you will find and you will see a news story on it. TikTok, Instagram, whatever. But you will see at least once, if not 50 times, scenes in Walmart or Target or a big box store where all of these people have found that one great item, a 55-inch color smart TV that is on sale for $99.99, and there'll be people that will rush and start grabbing it and know that's mine, it's the last one, and there will be fights all over the stores based on, I've got to have this thing and I've got to have it right now. Advent reminds me, slow down, Joel, chill out. It's just stuff. Advent teaches us patience. You know, patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Advent teaches us about repentance. Advent teaches us about contentment. Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs, he wrote this great book. If you've never read it, try to find it. It's hard to find. It's called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, written by one of the Puritans many years ago. And it is rare indeed because we live in such a discontented culture. And we've been taught discontentment our entire lives. The final thing that I pray when I preach the gospel to myself every day, when I preach the gospel to myself sometime in the morning, I preach the gospel to myself sometime in the afternoon, and then I preach the gospel to myself at night when I put my head on my pillow. And there's six things that to me preaches the gospel to myself, and that is worship, and that is confession, and it is thanksgiving, humility, trust. And the last thing in the preaching the gospel to myself every single day is contentment, to say, Lord, I am content in you and you alone today. Even when the Lord knows that that's not where my heart really is, even when I have to say to the Lord, now Lord, you know that I'm not content right now. You know I'm struggling. I still say to the Lord, but Lord, mold me and shape me into the image of your Son so that I can be content in you and in you alone. Advent brings confidence in the promises of God. We remember that those promises came true at the first Advent. We sing about it. We've already sang about it this morning. And we'll sing over the course of this month, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Angels we have heard on high. Silent night, away in a manger. All of these songs remind us that God's word is true. It happened. And then Advent reminds us that it will happen again. History is going somewhere. And that somewhere is the second coming of our Savior and Lord Jesus. So today, on this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle that represents hope. And that hope tells us that we have that in Jesus and Jesus alone. The last word, I mentioned it when I lit the candle, the last word in the Bible, John in Revelation, chapter 22, John asking Jesus, and Jesus answering, yes, yes, I am coming again. And John ends the entire Bible by saying, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Father, thank you for that gift today. And that's exactly what it is, it's a gift. That promise is a gift. Now, for those of us living in the new covenant, we've seen the prophecy of the old covenant, and we saw it come true. We know that it came true. It came true in Jesus. We celebrate that this time of year, the birth of the Messiah. So we're looking backward, and we're realizing it came true. It happened. And so what confidence that we now have as new covenant believers that the second prophecy will come just as true as the first. The promise that you made to your bride, the church, the body, yes, I will come again. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And that is our hope. Father, I am grateful. Those words ring hollow because it's not enough But in my heart, I am so grateful for the life that you have given me. But even this life that you have given me is hopeless without Jesus saying, Joel, I'm coming again to get you. If all I have is this life, then I'm to be pitied. But as your child, I realize, Father, that there's so much more, and that you are going to come again, and you are going to take us to our eternal home as our Savior and our Lord. And we celebrate that today by lighting this candle that represents hope, real hope, true hope, everlasting hope. Thank you for that hope today in Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Our invitation that we're going to sing is which one, Ken? Arise, shine. And man, oh, we're going to sing them both. All right. So if you've never trusted Christ, then that is our encouragement to you today. If you need to come and make that public, then I'll be here up front to receive you. If you need to join a church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and sing.
Name is God, Emmanuel.